I'm Laura Palmer, host of Island Crime. Season 6, Sweethearts, is the story of three teenage girls who were all murdered in Victoria, Canada, within about 12 months.
So she was scared. Something out there scared her.
You just created the playground where predators can really thrive.
She was a 16-year-old girl. She was a sweetheart.
Listen to Sweethearts at frequencypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get podcasts.
Find your frequency.
From the KISS 92.5 studios in Toronto, Canada.
Are you ready?
Ladies and gentlemen.
This is Roz.
Yes.
And Mocha.
It's Roz and Mocha. What's going on?
Hey guys, this is Bruno Mars.
This is Selena Gomez.
The Chainsmokers.
Lady Gaga.
Calvin Harris.
Celestia Carr.
This is Ed Sheeran.
You're listening to my boys Roz and Mocha.
Roz and Mocha.
My boys Roz and Mocha.
The Roz and Mocha Show.
Between Roz and Mocha, who is your favorite?
Roz.
Mocha.
Roz.
You guys are so funny, man.
Congratulations, Lisa! Wow!
You just won $1,000.
That is amazing. Y'all just made my entire morning. Keep it up.
You guys are awesome, man.
This is the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Roz and Mocha superfan Christina is on hold. We're going to get to her in 1 second. Friendly reminder, Wednesday, midnight. So Tuesday night, going into Wednesday, midnight, episode 1 will be released, the history of Roz and Mocha. And we cannot be any more excited for this project.
Yeah, it's, you guys are going to love it. Like, if you love the podcast, and we know people do, we know people have listened to every single episode. Like, we're at like, how many hundreds of now?
Oh, dude, like eight something.
And then you go back and you start all over again. And this is for, you know, really you guys, fans of the show, fans of the podcast. It is 100% fan service that you guys have had so many questions over the years. And we just answer everything. And it's done in like this really brilliant docuseries style where you guys are really, really going to dig it. I'm so excited to have everybody listen to this.
Just so you know, it'll appear on the regular Roz and Mocha podcast feed.
Yes.
So if you already subscribe, then look out for that episode when it comes out midnight Wednesday. If you don't subscribe, hit up Spotify and Apple as well. Hey, Christina, it's Roz and Mocha. Welcome to the show. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. So you're pumped for this docuseries, huh?
We are, yeah.
There's one thing in this text that you sent in saying that you've been listening to KISS and you've been listening since like the Mad Dog and Billy days.
Yeah, I'm aging myself here, aren't I?
Because yeah. Mad Dog and Billy used to be here on KISS.
And then the station went away and then it came back. And that's a really long time. Billy's in the docuseries.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's really great to hear too. Cause like Mocha worked for the Mad Dog and Billy show and I worked for it's a really in-depth sort of telling of how Mocha and I started this show all those years ago. And there's so much of the series that happens even before we meet. Like there's so much of sort of understanding what made Mocha Mocha and what made me me even before we meet. You guys are really going to love it.
Oh, that's good. Well, you got my kids bed for this phone call this morning.
Oh, what are your kids' names?
Charlotte and Miranda, they're listening to you right now.
Charlotte and Miranda, how old are they?
Well, Charlotte's 11.
Uh-huh.
Miranda's 8. I was talking to them yesterday about how long I've been listening to the station. I did stop for a while when they changed it over.
Yeah.
But I was telling them about Sugar Baby.
Oh, wow.
Oh, damn. Yeah.
I was looking for a video so they could hear her voice, and I found the one of her performing at Wonderland.
Yep.
With Mocha.
Yep.
I'm Sugar Baby, the real Sugar Baby. All you other Sugar Babies are just imitating. So won't the real Sugar Baby please jump up?
The real Sugar Baby?
Yeah, classic joint right there.
That was a blast from the past.
Wow.
So you were a kid listening to KISS back then. And now your kids are
you're in high school. Yeah.
But now your kids are growing up listening to the Roz and Mocha show.
Yeah, every morning before school.
Maury's curious if you named your daughter Miranda off the Sex and the City character.
And Charlotte.
And okay. Charlotte.
Do the kids know they're named after those characters?
We had no idea at the time. I had never seen Sex and the City.
Wait a second. You got two kids that you named Charlotte and Miranda and you didn't know that they were Sex and the City names?
I didn't realize that until like 5 different people asked us if we were fans after we named our second daughter. And I was like, no, it just kind of
happened. We really liked the name, so.
That's like back in the day with when Pamela Anderson was married to Tommy Lee back in the day. They had two sons, and this was like the late 90s kind of thing, and they named them Brandon and Dylan, and everybody was like huge 90210 fans, and they were like, huh?
Yeah, right. For sure they were. Absolutely. They didn't want to ruin their street cred.
Right?
Yeah. Anyway, Christina, excited to talk to you today. Thank you very much for taking time out of your busy morning with the kids there. Got you all wrapped up. And we just cannot wait for you to listen to that episode. And when you do finally listen to episode one, will you hit us up? Because I'm really curious to know what you think.
Oh my God, of course.
All right, Christina, love you lots. Before we let you go, between Roz and Mocha, who's your favorite?
I'm going to let my kids answer that question.
Say again?
Mocha.
Hey, yeah. You got some smart ass kids right there. Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
You too. Bye.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Midnight.
Oh my God.
Episode number one, the history of Roz and Mocha. A six-part docuseries that will answer so many of your questions and give you so much more.
And one of the cool things that we're doing is that, so new episodes drop every Wednesday at midnight after today. And every week we're going to give two super fans preview content, like give them an episode ahead of time so they can listen to it and then sort of come on with us and talk to the rest of the fans about what how they feel about it, like what they heard, give you a tiny review.
Mm-hmm. Without any spoilers.
Without any. Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Jolene, you are a super fan of the Roz and Mocha Show. How are you?
I am amazing. How are you, Roz and Mocha?
Great, Jolene.
Doing good. No spoilers, first and foremost, okay?
No spoilers. No spoilers.
So you got episode one.
I am completely honored to be one of the very, very few people to be part of something so incredible. And I got to listen to it last night. I listened to it twice.
Wow.
You guys are... I had to make sure I had notes.
Yeah.
I had to make sure I didn't miss anything. I will be listening to it again. I'm too old to get up at midnight, but I will get up early and listen to it before the show again tomorrow.
What? How'd you feel about it?
It was amazing. Hearing the biggest thing for me was hearing how vastly different you guys grew up. And I mean, we had a little bit of a gauge of that before, but you guys, like, it was... It's so incredible to hear, like, you mesh so perfectly together on the radio, but you came from such incredibly different backgrounds. And we had an idea about that before, but you really get a lot more background information about how you guys grew up. And so that is a huge thing that fans have not had a huge chance to hear. Now, I mean, Roz, we have your book, and I have listened to it a lot of times. So we have a pretty good idea about stuff with you, but you managed to put a few things in there that we didn't know. And I'm sure that there's a lot more to come. Your mom is one incredibly
amazing,
badass
right?
Boy mom, like unbelievable.
Yeah. She's incredible.
And even with the room that we didn't know about from before.
No spoilers.
spoilers, but that definitely had to rewind. I'm like, I'm sorry, did I hear that right?
Yes.
And so that was incredible. But I mean, the guests that you guys have on, I mean, you are 1,000%.
Right?
My God. Okay. Sabrina and Vern.
Okay, Sabrina and Vern. Yes, my parents. Can I tell you the one part that you're going to hear when this episode drops at midnight that I know, I'm just going to get it out there because I know it's just going to haunt me for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
Right? And Shem, I can finally relate.
Talk to me.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, do you have a clip?
He was a nice boy.
Oh, yeah.
He was really a nice, loving boy.
He was, I would say, a mommy's boy.
That's it. Yeah. That was the moment that I rewound a few times, and I'm like, oh, dear, this is going to haunt you, Mocha.
Yeah.
He was, I would say,
we have a new
boy.
Take care of my Shemmy.
Yeah, we have a new one, right?
He was, I would say,
we have a new
mommy's
one.
Boy.
Come on, Dad. Bruh, you turn on your own son like that.
Oh, yeah, no. Your parents completely steal the show in terms of the guests.
I agree.
They're amazing.
They're so good.
So unbelievable.
Jolene, yeah.
I have to say.
Hold on. Go ahead. I was just going to ask, after hearing the episode, and if there's one thing that you could say to everyone who are waiting for that midnight drop about episode one specifically, what would that be?
That's perfect. That's exactly what I was going to say. Mocha, your parents might steal the show, but what everyone has been hoping for and waiting for is coming. We get to hear about you. We get little tiny glimpses of Mocha through the years, but we haven't had a lot. And clearly we are going to get to know you. And in the last like half hour, 20 minutes of that episode, it was dating back to, you know, in my head of when Roz spoiled the ending to your own book, right? Yeah. Where you wanted to know that there was a happy ending, and your heart, like if you have listened over the years and you know how much, you know, Mocha, you have always wanted this, your heart will break when you hear about Kiss ending. And what you went through at that time. And all you do is just champion, be like, it's okay, Mocha. You know what good is coming. You know how amazing it's going to be. It's okay, don't worry. And you really do get why you say sometimes in your head when you come in the door, you know, the boyhood dream has come true. Because it really did. And it's if you've listened and you love you guys, you know, as much as I love you guys, hearing that backstory, it just warms your heart, and it's amazing. Mocha, your story steals the show. Your parents are the star guests. Agreed. But your story steals the show. It was unbelievable.
It's super interesting because, you know, everybody knows how the story ends. I mean, you just turn the radio on, right?
Yeah,
but everybody knows how the story ends. So that's great. But how everybody got to this point is I think there's still a lot of questions that a lot of people have. And yes, I fully agree. Mocha's story is, and do you just wait, like you just like I can only tell you, please, just like this is episode one, just wait.
Oh, also, it's gonna be amazing.
Yeah.
Quick update: my dad and I now have beef because of this.
He was, I would say, a mommy's boy.
Episode one of the Roz and Mocha, the history of Roz and Mocha, drops midnight. If you follow us or subscribe to the podcast, it'll appear on the regular podcast feed. If you do not follow or subscribe to the podcast, head over to Spotify, get it on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, anywhere it is that you get your podcast from. Yeah. Subscribe to Roz and Mocha midnight today, episode one, the history of Roz and Mocha.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Oh, it's finally here. Midnight is episode one of the history of Roz and Mocha. Probably the biggest project we've ever worked on here on the Roz and Mocha Show. Mm-hmm. A lot of time went into creating this project. A lot of emotion went into creating this. And we are so excited for the next 6 weeks for you, the super fans, the new fans. The fans have been with us since day one, almost 15 years ago, to be a part of all of this.
And every week we're going to take two huge fans, and you could be a new huge fan or like an OG huge fan, but we're going to give two fans every week the episodes early so they can come on and talk to us and talk to everybody else about how they felt about it, what they learned, and it's been great so far.
Mm-hmm. Pineapple Pat, you are a massive Roz and Mocha nerd. What's up, dude?
Hey, what up, guys?
What's going on?
Welcome to the show. Welcome back. Pat and I always nerd out about nerdy things in the DMs, and you're one of the people who got the episode one. You got the drop early, bro.
What was your initial reaction, Pat?
Honestly, it was shocking. Great one. I know, Roz, you mentioned too, like, that one of the parts that stand out from this one is definitely about hearing Mocha's mom and dad.
Yeah,
definitely can understand that. That was really good.
They're so great in this episode.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Is episode one for the history of Roz and Mocha what you thought it would be? Like, what was your initial thought process before hitting play? What did you think this was going to be about?
Honestly, so I thought it was going to be more for hardcore Roz and Mocha fans, but this honestly can even go for new people going into Roz and Mocha, kind of giving a background of, like, where you guys came from and everything too. So that was my, I guess, shock value from it was that I thought it was going to be just for the hardcore people, but yeah. It's actually for everyone. It was really good.
You just wait. There is anything that you know about this show as far as the things we say, what we do on the show, what we've been doing for years on this show, the backstory of all of that stuff is all in episodes of this docuseries, mm-hmm. right? Like everything that you know and love about the show gets its own sort of story and why we do it, where it came from, the first time we did all this stuff on the radio, like all that nerd stuff for like the hardcore fans, all of that is coming, we promise.
Yeah. And there's already, you know, like the giant spoiler alert is that we're here every day.
Yeah.
Like we do the show. You know how the story ends.
Yes.
It's just all the minor details, right? Minor and major details that led to us getting here and doing that first show, really, right?
Yeah, I know. It's looking forward to the rest of it. Awesome so far.
Did you have a favorite part?
Yes. Can I say without spoiling it?
Yeah, we can bleep you if it's a spoiler.
It was kind of funny.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. I'll tell you, there, and, oh, man, I don't want to.
You can just say it. You can give a review. Like it's
can
totally
I say unique. There's one part that I absolutely love? Because, you know, I think, like, Roz and I have worked together for so long, right? Almost 15 years now. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot about Roz that I didn't know. And I learned a lot after the book came out. And even still, in listening to just episode one of The History of Roz and Mocha, there's a little bit more that I learned, right? And it comes to the relationship between you and your brother Richard.
Right.
And I already knew, like everybody knows, you talk about the relationship. You guys are always, like, for the most part of your life, except for one brief moment in time, you live together. Your entire life,
still
right?
Live
still live together now. Yeah. And there's one beautiful moment. I kind of teared up a little bit. Like when Richard knew that you were going to be born.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, right? That was a really good one.
I actually have that clip. Can I play that clip real quick?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Richard is 26 months, I believe, older than Roz.
My mom.
And they were inseparable from the time Roz was born.
My brother Richard, we're so incredibly close.
Before I could actually see my brother in the hospital when he was born, I got a picture of him. So before my mom came home, and I carried it around, like staring at it, saying, "This is my baby brother, this is my baby brother."
And he would not wear anything that did not have a pocket in it because he had to carry his little brother around with him.
So this was a special pocket, and it was just for that picture. So he was literally my best friend and the thing that I looked forward to most before I even met him.
If there's one thing you can share with people who are going to be listening at midnight or whenever they get the episode, what would you say, Pat? What's like kind of your final review of episode one, The History of Roz and Mocha?
I think you guys have a lot to look forward to, especially with how voices come in and out kind of all around the place, which are in a good way. Definitely some surprising voices that we haven't heard before. So I think everyone's going to be excited about that. And I think it's for everyone. It's not just for like the hardcore fans. I think it's for even the new people that are just kind of getting into your show now. So
amazing. Amazing. Thank you, Pat.
Pat, you're the best. Appreciate your support. Appreciate all that you do for us on the Roz and Mocha Show.
Yeah, appreciate it, guys. All right, have a good one, guys.
You too. Episode one of The History of Roz and Mocha drops at midnight. Anywhere it is you get your podcast from, just make sure you are subscribed to The Roz and Mocha Show. It'll appear on the regular feed as of midnight. That download will happen on your device. But episode one, The History of Roz and Mocha, at midnight.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast. Podcast.
Natasha, it's Roz and Mocha, WTF.
Hi. Oh my God, Mocha, you're one of my favorites, and after listening to the podcast.
Okay, hold on. No, how quickly you change. Hold on a second. So Natasha is one of thousands who stayed up until midnight to download episode one of the six-part docuseries, The History of Roz and Mocha.
Right.
And we have been getting overnight inundated with texts from people, just reaction to listening to episode one.
Right.
Okay?
Yep.
So no spoilers here, But here's exactly word for word what Natasha texted in. Used to be the biggest Mocha fan, but gosh, the docuseries is converting me to a Roz fan. Have a great day, guys.
Oh my God.
Can I say one reason why Mocha is my favorite, which is so dumb?
Yeah.
But I remember like 10 years ago, I was listening to the radio. I used to sneak and listen to the radio.
What are you doing on your phone? Talk properly into your phone.
I'm at the gym.
Okay, but like what? Like talk right into the bottom of it.
What are you, on the treadmill?
No, I was skipping.
Oh, stop skipping.
Oh my God.
No, but like you're all muffled. Talk right into the bottom of the phone. It's right on your face.
Put a skipping rope down. I know it's good cardio and everything, but still.
I am talking into
there.
The
okay,
there.
Okay, better.
Right there. Okay, perfect.
They always lie.
I remember Ross said he didn't wash his jeans for 18 months, and Mocha said that's nasty, and I shower twice a day, and I agreed with Mocha, and since then, he's been my favorite.
Wow.
Okay, but that's not what your text said to us.
But now?
Because the first line in your text is, used to be the biggest Mocha fan, and then the next line is, but gosh, the docuseries is converting me to a Roz fan.
What did you hear in episode one that is pulling you away from being a Mocha fan?
Just the story of your family.
Of Mocha's family?
No, of Ross's family. And just...
What about my family? My family's in it too.
No, I mean, your parents seem really nice. It's just hearing about the big brother aspect, I just thought that was the sweetest thing ever.
So that's a big part of this is that...
But if that's sweet, then I should be still your favorite.
No. My big brother, not
big
you
brother.
As a big brother.
Oh. Yeah.
So in episode one, we really get into how Mocha and I grew up very, very differently. And one of the differences is that Mocha was a... aggressive older brother to two younger sisters who would wait on the driveway when he thought that they were coming home being dropped off
by
boys.
Yeah, not aggressive towards them.
No, but aggressive older brother.
Yes.
And I grew up as a little brother who had a fully loving older brother who couldn't wait to be my best friend, and we were always together and two best friends, la-di-da. And so you really hear that play out in episode one, how I grew up as the can-do-nothing-wrong sort of little brother, where when Mocha's little sister was born, he was infuriated and thought that his life was ruined.
Yeah. Can I just say something about that?
Yeah.
Yes.
I have best friends, too. Anyway,
the story of you being a protective older brother is so cute, but I think that's very normal. I don't think lots of people relate to, you know, having a little brother or having a big brother that wants to be your best friend. Okay. So I think that's
but
very
still
cute.
Okay, but still, like, you're giving me all the signs as to why I'm your favorite, and you're still like contemplating converting. May I remind everyone, and I'm going to have to bleep this because no spoilers,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Roz that had a in his parents' house.
I don't agree with that, but I mean, my parents are very strict Trini parents who, you know, I feel like I relate a lot to Mocha.
Uh-huh. Yeah. But,
I feel like the podcast is converting me to Roz slowly.
Wow. I did not think that was going
to
happen.
I cannot wait for you to hear the rest of this docuseries. Episode 2 will drop next Wednesday at midnight. Are you going to stay awake to listen to episode 2 now that you kind of know the way episode 1 went and especially how it ended?
Maybe. I wake up at 4 a.m.
Okay.
I can always listen at
4.
Yeah.
Okay. Perfect. All right. Get back to skipping. Thank you, Natasha. Love you.
Thanks. Have a great day. Bye, guys.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Episode 1 of the history of Roz and Mocha is now available.
Yeah.
On Spotify, yes. Apple Podcasts. It's all on the regular Roz and Mocha podcast feed, so you don't have to do any updates. Just check your device. If you have not yet listened, episode 1 has downloaded to your device. If you do not subscribe, why don't you go ahead and do that? Just search for Roz and Mocha and hit subscribe. Over the next 6 weeks, every Wednesday at midnight, you will get a new episode.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had, overnight when we weren't here, Roz, thousands upon thousands of texts from
so
people
good.
Who stayed up to listen to episode 1. And there's, I got to share this with you guys.
Yeah.
Leslie and Cindy are Roz and Mocha super fans who were one of the thousands that stayed up and listened at midnight. But what they did was, on one of their phones, they listened to the episode.
Mm-hmm.
On the other phone, they opened up the voice notes app and started recording, like, reaction.
That's amazing.
To what they were listening to, all while eating chips, because what are you going to do overnight, right?
Yeah.
And I'm going to try my best to not spoil, or maybe this will encourage people to go ahead and listen at some point today. But just during the intro, before we even start telling a story,
right?
The way the podcast starts is this massive intro.
Yeah.
A huge montage. It's brilliant. So before even getting to the story, here's Leslie and Cindy and their reaction.
Okay. Just in the beginning, I'm like getting teary-eyed.
I was like, is it going to be that kind of style?
I'm getting a little emotional and I don't know why.
It was a good setup for that though.
No, but like even just hearing like...
how Roz was going to answer or wanted to answer?
But even like even asking Roz, what, how would your life be without Mocha, made me start to tear up, to be honest, and made me feel a little emotional.
Yeah. I was kind of hoping he wouldn't answer, and I'm happy that he didn't right off the bat.
We'll see.
Wow.
Incredible.
Yeah.
You're going to be hearing about this. I might as well just say, like, you're going to be hearing this a lot. You'll get the full story as to what happened in episode one.
Yeah.
But you're going to hear, and because a lot of people are texting, like, Boga, you pushed a baby. Like, okay, but like, that's all I'm gonna say. Like, you get the full story, right?
Do we not have a clip we can play? We really should.
That part?
Or any, yeah, I mean, it's unfair for us to discuss this so much without playing some of it, I think, anyway.
I don't have the baby part, though.
Oh, okay. maybe that's better.
You'll get the full explanation. But yeah. Here's what
Leslie and Cindy... push the baby.
Shut up. Here's what Leslie and Cindy had to say about that.
Mocha. Mocha. Pushing your sister.
I wish you were never born.
I'm sure every oldest child wishes that on their younger sibling. Oh, Mocha was a violent child.
Star romance.
Also, so another big revelation. We've had to bleep a couple of things here because of Leslie and Cindy's reaction.
And it's not bleeped in the series.
It
though.
Is not. No, this no. Unbleeped on episode one of the History of Roz and Mocha.
Yeah.
But Leslie and Cindy's reaction. Though.
Not surprised.
I'm not surprised, but the fact that... Okay.
This is a part where they're talking about Roz's upbringing. And when Roz was a teenager. And at home, your dad helped...
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Build a room for your band.
It was soundproof. Practice. It was soundproof.
When I heard Roz describe this room as soundproof...
Yep, that was already in the cushion.
I immediately wanted to... You can do whatever the you want in this room. Why did I not have this room when I was a teenager? What the?
Because we're not white.
Fair enough.
I'll just play one more. This was super quick.
How tall do you think Mocha was in high school?
I'm wondering. Like, Mocha's saying I intimidated my sister's friends, but I'm wondering how tall was he?
Or how tall were they?
How tall were they? But I feel like he's like maybe 5'7", which isn't that tall.
F*** you, that's my height.
Episode one of the History of Roz and Mocha. Available right now on the Roz and Mocha podcast feed. Go subscribe if you haven't done so yet on Spotify, on Apple, Frequency Podcast Network. And episode two will be out next Wednesday at midnight.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Hi, Laura. It's Roz and Mocha.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good. How's it going?
Good, thanks.
Okay, so Laura is a Roz and Mocha super fan, mm-hmm. who listen to episode one of the history of Roz and Mocha. We've said this before, that this docuseries, six-part docuseries, every Wednesday at midnight is when an episode comes out, for literally everyone, whether you've listened to the show from the very beginning, you know, we're almost 15 years in, or maybe you discovered the show 10 years ago, 5 years ago, maybe you discovered the show this month, yesterday, today. This docuseries will really get you caught up and help you learn about Roz and Mocha more than any other way you ever thought possible. And Laura is one of our day ones, Roz.
Oh, wow.
Since 2009, Laura has been with the Roz and Mocha show. So you listen to episode one. Would love to know what you think.
It was amazing, hands down. I really loved hearing, first of all, your backgrounds of with your families and how, you know, Mocha pushed his sister, okay. You know, but I loved the aspect of just, you know, how close you are with your families and, you know, just how your career started. And I literally listened to it at 5:30 this morning. Wow. When I got up. It was really well done, you know, having everybody there, like even Mad Dog and Billy, because I used to listen to them before as well.
Yeah.
And it, honestly, you guys did a phenomenal job, and I just can't wait for episode two. I really can't wait.
When we announced that we were doing this docuseries, right, and you would hear, like, the promos on the radio saying, hey, listen out for episode one, here's when it's coming out. What went through your mind? Like, what did you think the docuseries was going to be about compared to what episode one actually is?
I actually thought that the show, that the podcast was going to start off with the first day you guys met. I literally thought that's where it was going to start.
Right.
But I liked the background aspect of how you got to where you are today and, you know, where you guys first started and, again, how your careers changed over the years. But again, the way you guys did this podcast, I was listening very closely. So it was very well done. Very well done.
Episode two is the one I think that fans are going to not like the most, but I think that that's the one where fans are going to get the stories that they've heard before us talk about on the radio, but they're going to hear them in a way that they never have before. The sort of next step in the story is when KISS comes back, when the station comes back and we start building this show. And the entire episode is about building this show. And I know we've talked about it so much, and I talked about it in the book, and we've talked about it on the radio, and we've told all these stories before. But I don't think that you guys will be prepared for the amount of behind the scenes dirt and detail that are in episode two.
Well, I am intrigued. I can't wait to hear it.
We can't wait for you to hear it. Laura, we love you. Thank you for supporting the show since 2009. This docuseries is for you. This docuseries is for everyone that's ever had questions or may, you know, think that they know or kind of piece together certain things based on what we've said over the years, but this is like the most in-depth. When we say the history of Roz and Mocha, this is truly the history of Roz and Mocha. And thank you for joining us on this journey, Laura.
No, well, thank you, guys. You really treat your fans well, and I'm sure you'll do us justice. So thank you so much, and I love you guys and the show so much.
The Roz and Mocha Show Podcast.
It's the Roz and Mocha Show on KISS.
Hey, it's Roz and Mocha. Who's this?
It's Michael. How's it going, boys?
What up, Michael?
I'm doing good. Jesus, so many thoughts. So many thoughts about the podcast.
Oh, episode one of the history of Roz and Mocha.
I stayed up until midnight, like I promised you I would. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And, oh, man. So, first of all, Mocha, you can bleep this, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Seriously, Roz?
Yeah, I knew it.
So that's number one. Number two, we hear a lot over the years about Mocha and your temper, mm-hmm. and how much of a hothead you are. Mm-hmm. I didn't understand it before unless it was like instance based. Now I get it.
Yeah, there's one moment where Mocha's mom says that Mocha's sister Laura said that if she ever got a boyfriend, that she could tell her mom, she could tell her dad, but she could never tell her brother.
Tell her brother.
Yeah.
Sam, I'm going to do you a solid. I messed with you in the past when I've been on the show, but I'm going to do you a solid. Mocha, your dad said you were a mommy's boy, but your mom also said you were a chubby baby.
That's true. That's true.
He was a nice boy. He was really a nice, loving boy.
He was, I would say, a mommy's boy.
Mocha was a really good baby. He was chubby. He was playful.
Okay.
That's true. Yeah, this is the Roz and Chubby Mama's Boy show.
Shut up.
Okay. And then Roz, I know you talked a little bit about this in your memoir, how your friends were always like in and out of your house and your house was kind of, you know, open to them.
Yeah.
And yeah, just hearing your mom talk about that, what shocked me, I don't know if this is a spoiler per se, because it was in your memoir too.
Yeah.
How much your friends could talk to your mom about anything. Anything.
Yeah. Anything. Anything. My parents knew more about my friends' lives than their own parents did. Mm-hmm. For sure. Yeah. For sure.
I mean, definitely when you got a
That's going to be the death of me, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Anytime someone brings up the history of Roz and Mocha, I know to have my finger hovering on this bleep button. Because at any time, those two words are going to be said.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting when you grow up, right? Like, you grow up in a church-going household. When you're a little kid, you assume everybody goes to church. When you grow up in a Jewish household, you assume nobody eats bacon. When you grew up in the household I did, I thought everybody had...
No, sir. That was exclusive to you.
And then one more thing. It was really interesting, and I know this isn't a spoiler because Roz, you said it out loud. Mm-hmm. Billy is on the podcast, but what was interesting was hearing all the people that you guys used to work with, even like during the KISS radio station and even other radio stations.
Yeah,
like it's a lot that was said there.
Yeah,
that gives, like you said, it's a backstory to the backstory. It's crazy.
And you're going to be hearing a lot more from those people and more people throughout this this docuseries, man.
Yeah.
Now that you know that every episode is released on Wednesdays at midnight, and because you stayed up and listened at midnight, is this going to be the pattern? Are you going to want to stay awake and listen as of midnight?
I'm going to try my best, but I purposely woke up like an hour later.
Oh, shoot. So a mess with your day, huh?
I'm fortunate enough that I can do that with the job that I work, but, you know, I'm going to do my best.
Gotcha. All right, Michael. Gotcha. We appreciate you. We've said this before. This docuseries is fan service. This is for people like you. How long have you been listening to the show?
I think since like 2021.
Not that long ago. But still enough to get to know us and, you know, whether you've been listening for the entire almost 15 years or like Michael, you've been listening, you know, for the past 3 years now, or you just started listening this month, yesterday, today. This is the true definition of what it's going to be like to get to know Roz and Mocha.
Absolutely. And you said this yesterday. Doesn't matter if you're an old fan or a new fan, and it's 100% true. Yeah. There's something in it for everyone.
Michael, we appreciate you. We appreciate the support.
Always a pleasure, guys. Love you guys.
Before we let you go, between Roz and Mocha, who's your favorite?
It's got to be the Dream Daddy.
Shut up, dude. Yes.
I might be newer, but I remember that.
Yo, Michael, you call us anytime, bro.
Stop it.
I will. Thank you, guys.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Amanda texted because Amanda listened to episode 1 of The History of Roz and Mocha. And in her text to us said she has no words.
Oh, no.
No good. Like, it's all good, though.
Yeah. What are your thoughts?
Oh, my God. Amazing. I was on my way to work, and I usually listen to you guys on my way. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to have to not listen to the show and actually listen to the podcast instead. And I was like, I had goosebumps. I was almost in tears. It was amazing. And I'm so excited for episode two. And I was like, when is it coming out? Like, why don't you just do it all at once?
No. Just in case, listen, just in case you want to go back and listen to episode one again and, like, you know, pay closer attention. When you heard us talking about this documentary, right? This docuseries.
Mm-hmm.
You must have had like an assumption as to what the history of Roz and Mocha would actually be versus what you heard. What was the assumption versus what you heard?
Oh man, I don't even know. I think what really kind of got me was, you know, the upbringing, how you guys kind of are coming together, your life stories. You know, Mocha, your temper. I didn't realize it was ever that bad. There were a bunch of holes in the wall.
Hey, now, come on.
It's called passion.
I remember Mocha being very upset and, you know, heard afterwards about him punching a wall, which, you know, I felt horrible.
It was no secret that I made that hole in the wall. Like, I told everyone. People asked who made the hole in the wall. And I was like, yo, that was me that made the hole in the wall. I was pissed.
It's interesting when the joke that I always had, like after I wrote my book, when I sort of came to terms with how people felt about it, I would really, really lean into the fact that it made people cry, right? Uh-huh. I sort of embraced it because at first it made me feel horrible. And then I embraced it. And I started keeping like a cry count, right? Like a sort of made up percentage.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
We're going to have to do that with this as well. I think by the time we get to the end of this, we will have an extremely high percent cry rate.
Yeah.
Guaranteed. Oh, for sure. Like, for I sure. guarantee we are going to have an incredibly high percentage of people who cry at some point during this.
Did you almost cry during any part of episode one, Amanda?
Yeah, well, many, many times.
Oh, can you think of one moment? What's one moment that almost either almost brought you to tears or actually brought you to tears?
Well, speaking with Roz's, you know, with his father and, you know, his bringing up with his brothers, how close they were.
They gave so much responsibility to my brother when he was younger to raise me that it almost forced us to bond. Like when we were kids, he was the one that would discipline me if I tried to stick my hand in a light socket or something like that. And it didn't drive us apart. It drove us closer together. And he sort of became my protector. He was always the first one that I knew I could rely on.
And even when it was actually funny when Mocha, you're chatting about with your sister Laura there with pushing her, and I actually have a little two year old, and we're in the talks of having another kid, and I'm like, you know what, my kid's already a bully. He's gonna be exactly like Mocha.
Oh no! I was so pissed, and they put her in that crib, and I snuck up to my parents' room, and I went up to the crib, and I said to her, dead in her sleeping baby face.
He came up and he said to Laura, I wish you were never born. You're getting all the attention.
And I took my hand and I pushed her. I pushed a baby. I pushed a baby.
All right, forget it's about so pushing good. The baby.
Let's go back to the nice moments between Roz and his dad and his brother.
No, it's, I think that, it's the other side of everything. And, you know, we come in and do the show every day and the mandate is to, you know, we like to laugh and we want you to laugh along with us. But the story itself behind this show is, it's a really, really emotional story. And once we get sort of into the deeper episodes, you're going to realize, I think it's going to change the way a lot of people have memories of the show in a really beautiful way. Like, I think that it's going to change the perception that you have thought that you had over the years listening to this show, but in like the best way possible. And there's some really, really beautiful moments coming up in the series that I can't wait for people to hear.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so, so excited. I cannot wait. Even you just saying that, I have goosebumps going on my arm.
Aww,
so
Amanda, how long have you been listening to the Roz and Mocha Show?
Oh, man. I was actually thinking about this on my way in this morning, and I was like, it's been a long, long time. I'd probably say, you know, I've been with the company I'm with now, and I have about an hour and 10-minute commute each way. So I always usually listen to the show on the way in and then the podcast on the way home. So it's been probably like at least 10, 11 years.
Wow. Amazing. Wow. Amazing. Well, we're so glad, so happy, Amanda, that you've been able to share your time with us on the Roz and Mocha Show for the past 10 years. It means so much. This is why we did the history of Roz and Mocha. This is for you.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. I love to hear how you guys came together and how, you know, how even the show came to be. And it just kind of puts everything into perspective. And I'm so excited for more.
Well, new episode every Wednesday for the next 6 weeks being released at midnight. Can't wait to talk to you again, Amanda. Before we let you go, between Roz and Mocha, who's your favorite?
I knew you were going to ask me this. Kill me, you guys. Kill me. You know what? I'm going to have to go with Mocha.
Hey, cool. The baby pusher. The baby pusher.
The baby pusher.
Love you, Amanda.
Oh, all right. Love you guys. Thanks so much.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Reading this article, Maria, apparently there's going to be a population collapse in Greece.
What?
Yeah.
What happened?
Because I guess that Greece has for the past, how many of her years they've had more people over the age of 80 than any other European country. So
wow.
A lot of people are dying and their fertility rate is one of the lowest in Europe. And so now the government is planning to unveil new policies to boost birth rates.
Like force people to do it?
Such as cash benefits for families, affordable housing for young people, financial incentives for assisted reproduction, and incorporating migrants into the workforce.
Hmm.
So they need people to start making babies.
Yeah.
Hmm. Right?
Interesting.
It's not,
is it because they're too busy or they're not romantic? Like, why are doing it?
Well, no, I think that the problem is that around the most Western countries is that young people are waiting later and later in life.
They are.
And a lot of young people are deciding not to have kids. Everybody's, you know, financially strapped and all this other stuff. But they also have a population that is dying rapidly. And so when you have that with no kids, there's a real issue.
Especially when housing, like everywhere, is so expensive. And people are like, I can't, how am I going to afford to raise a family if I can't even afford to find a place to live for myself?
Mm-hmm. You might get drafted, Maria. They may call you back to serve.
You're going to Greece this summer.
Yeah.
This summertime. Oh, look out for the pamphlets.
Bro, I'd leave the lipstick at home. you're going to get drafted.
All the new clothes you bought.
Yeah.
You've been buying shopping spree.
Oh, they're going to be waiting for you at the airport to take you to your brand new house.
Yeah. Maria Papadakis, welcome.
Welcome. We've been waiting. Home.
Yeah, let me show you the palace that we have here for you.
Yeah, who's that? Oh, Milos, don't worry. Yeah. You'll get to know him.
Yeah, super nice guy.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast. Roz and Mocha's Fix My Life.
What advice can you guys give me?
Okay, so my question is...
Got a problem you can't fix.
Roz and Mocha got you.
Ray, hello, it's Roz and Mocha. Welcome to Fix My Life. What in your life needs fixing?
Hey, Roz and Mocha. Honestly, I need to know, do I work two jobs or do I focus on one?
Ray, you wrote us this. Hey, Roz and Mocha, Fix My Life. My partner and I run a small business together on top of both working full-time jobs. Our business has been growing over the past year. Congratulations for that. And I've been thinking about quitting my job to try and take our business to the next level versus trying to juggle it on top of work. I'm in my early 20s, and I don't know if me doing this is making the right choice because I'm young, and now is the best time to start my own business, or if I should make the responsible choice and stay working a quote secure job that you do not love.
What's a secure job that you don't love that you're doing right now?
Construction, landscape construction, renovations.
Okay,
stuff like that.
And what's the small business that's been taken off?
We do dog training, dog walking.
So how do you grow the dog training, dog walking business to a point where you no longer need to work the landscaping job?
A lot of it has been referrals while I'm outside, either walking or training, just really communicating to people. I've recently started social media, But it's kind of been a hindrance. Working construction, I work 12-hour days. Some days I finish at 4:30. Some days I finish at 7. So it's kind of hard to keep things consistent for my clients. And I don't want to lose clients that way either.
So who runs the business? Like, who does all the daytime stuff when you're at work? Your partner?
Yeah, she does mainly the walking, and then like the training and other walking we'll save for weekends or evenings.
And do you think that if you go the route of focusing on the dog training, dog walking, do you have enough of a clientele that could sustain living? That could replace the income that you're getting right now from working construction?
That's the hard part. I mean, it's enough to get by, but currently, that's the issue I'm facing. Timing and everything, it doesn't really, working both doesn't allow me to.
Does your partner also work a full-time job, or are they dog walking full-time?
No, she works from home as well. So she kind of just balances both when we have time.
Okay. So the problem that you guys have is that you've started a business that is 100% based on clients and client approval, and it's daily and it takes you out of the house. So you guys didn't start a business where you could work from laptops at home. You're not selling something. You're not marketing something. You're not doing any of those business. You are out in the world walking and training dogs. You are like a client facing business. And to try and grow that, the problem is it is 100% dependent on the time you can devote to it or hire more people. But if you're not at the place right now where you can hire somebody to do the stuff that you now want to quit your job to do, then you're in a real tough position, right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
exactly.
So if you were to quit your job, would you make more walking dogs, or would you make enough walking dogs that if you didn't do it, could you hire somebody to do it for you?
To hire someone, probably not at the moment. Mm. But if I were to do it on my own, especially with, I guess, having a lot more time, no longer working 12-hour shifts, I could definitely make a lot more money then in the construction. But like you said, it's finding the clientele and making sure I'm busy enough.
What is your plan, your growth plan to scale up the dog walking business outside of just starting social media and hoping that one of your clients really loves you and then they tell one of their friends who has a dog?
Yeah. So recently we've just been looking into different forms of advertisement, ads, flyers, scaling the business. I've put together like a business plan. Throughout the winter, there's not much construction we can do. So I spent the past 5 months really trying to build a business plan.
So the hours that you and your partner spend on the dog walking business, what does it work out to? Like, how much are you guys actually making?
So about an hour, I make between everything, anywhere from like 100 to 150 an hour.
Mm-hmm. And how many of those hours pay you that though in a week?
I work about like 10, 12 hours. So that's the thing. It's not as many hours as.
And if you quit your job, could you triple that to 30 hours a week?
Probably. I think so.
Okay.
It's just the security of it. I don't want to take that risk.
Of course not. But listen, you're young, and the great thing is that you're walking away from a job that you could walk back into if you needed to, right?
Yeah. Yeah, most likely. I mean, we have guys coming in and out every week.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe Mocha thinks differently, but if you feel that this is a decision that you're going to regret not trying this full time and not giving it your all, it may haunt you forever. You know, it may haunt you forever.
My honest opinion is that if you've done the business plan and you think you can build the clientele and focus on this job, this small business that you and your partner run, like full time enough to make money, then like go for it, because there's always going to be construction. You're always going to be able to find a job.
Mm-hmm.
I say go for it, man.
Okay, guys.
What are the comparables? Like, do people have very successful dog walking businesses?
Yeah, honestly, in the Toronto area, like, it's so crowded. There's not a lot of green space. So working in the Toronto downtown area, people need their dogs walked.
Yeah.
What does your partner say? Like, does she know that you want to potentially quit your construction job to focus on this 100%?
Yeah, she's it's the same thing. She's for it, but we're also like thinking about saving up and wanting to buy a home. So both could be beneficial, because if we start making 30 hours a week doing training, that's a significant income increase.
Yeah, and she's like all certified and everything else to train dogs, all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Yeah. I mean, listen, give it a try. You don't want to regret it. You're young. If you're young, give it a try. You're not going to be able to do this later on in life when you got a mortgage and a kid and all this other stuff.
Yeah. That's I don't want to look back and regret it.
So if you're going to do it, do it now.
Do it. Do it. Thanks, Ray.
No worries. Thank you guys so much. It really means the world.
No worries, man. Good luck. We'll follow up with you in a couple of months. Okay.
All right. Perfect. Thank you guys so much.
Roz and Mocha's Fix My Life on Kiss.
Damn Zoom.
The damn Zoom. I
know. Damn Zoom. Boy, let me in the Zoom meeting.
Say please.
No, just do your job.
Now.
God. When you have to tell somebody please all the time to just do what you're just supposed to do, it's exhausting.
Is that why you never do it?
What are you talking about? What do I not do?
Hold on, let me get my book.
Yeah, okay.
I got a list.
Smile.
Fair.
Laugh.
Fair.
Wink.
Fair. I wink a lot. That's my greeting to people, even strangers. I'm a winker.
That's why the doctor keeps calling. Roz, you need that appointment for your eyes again, bro.
Yeah, I would say winking at people as a greeting is received positively. I'm like, I think 90%, right? Mm-hmm. I think I'm not 90%. 10% after the times I wink and then the person walks by me, I wonder if they think I'm meaning something else. Because I think that 10% of the population don't know how to take a wink.
Oh, right? Absolutely.
They didn't grow up in a wink household. Yeah. They're of an age
everyone
where wink...
Everyone thinks you're trying to pick up.
Where it's wink, always sexual.
Where wink means something different. But also, like, when you wink at somebody, like, you may give them the impression that you are both in on something together. You know what I mean?
That depends on which eye.
No, it doesn't.
Doesn't?
Lori.
Yeah.
Stop.
I would almost...
Do your job.
I would almost listen. Take it as, like, a compliment. I'd be like... Oh.
Yeah.
Like if I got a wink, right. Guy or girl.
Right.
I'd be like, oh.
Okay. Like here.
Maybe
more.
the fit is stacked today.
Right. I'll give you an example, Maury.
Okay? I'm trying to hook up Shem, perf. No.
Like you, okay, you and I walk it down the hall, right? Yeah. I'm walking one way, you're walking another way. I shoot you a wink, right? That's like a hey, what's up, homie? Right?
No, that's not a hey, what's up, homie?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Yeah, that's secret.
No.
That's take your clothes off.
Oh, but if you and I are at a bar as strangers and we're both side by side leaning over the bar trying to get the bartender's attention, uh-huh. right? And I get my drinks and you're still there waiting for your drinks. As I grab my drinks and I turn around and I look at you,
yeah.
And if I wink at that point,
oh, I think you want to take me home.
Really?
No, huh? I don't know. No, a bar and you wink as you're turning around and you wink, that means I've left something for you.
No,
yeah, that's left something for you. See, this is okay. You guys are part of the 10% that don't understand what a wink is.
No, if you wink at me, if we're at the bar, you grab your drinks and you wink at me, I take that as, oh, maybe like interested.
No.
Or wants to talk to me later.
It means, oh my God, look at us. We both sitting here waiting like cattle to be served. Yeah. I got my drinks ahead of you. Quick wink. What's up, homie? I'm out of here.
No, not a chance. Yeah. That's a head nod.
That is not a what's up, homie.
No, maybe, man.
That is.
You guys
wait, which bar are you at?
Shut up.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Damn, Maury, yesterday hanging out with some athletes, the Canadian athletes representing in Paris, July 26th to August 11th.
Oh, I cannot wait for the Olympics. I love watching the Olympics.
So great. Lululemon, partner, once again, partnering with the Canadian Olympic Committee.
People are happy with their stuff.
Like the last couple times
they've done it?
Their new fit. Looks awesome.
Fit? Did you just say fit?
Well, because that's what they said. Stop. They call it the fit.
Stop it.
Mm-hmm. Mocha says fit.
You can't.
Were
their
they
outfits?
I saw the pic. I like.
Yeah.
the last time they did this,
yeah,
the last Olympics, I bought.
You did. That's right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah, I remember
I bought.
That. I remember.
I'm into it. I already see a couple of those Lulu pieces that I'm going to add to the collection. But the athletes were out there, and Dammit Maury had a chance to chat in a very Dammit Maury way.
Okay.
Because you're going to see footage today.
Yeah.
You may have seen a bunch yesterday of people talking to some of the athletes.
Yeah.
About the fit. About the upcoming Olympics.
Yeah.
Right? Thought process.
Sure.
How they feel.
Getting ready.
Right? Getting ready.
This is it.
But it's only Dammit Maury that can get the real story from the athletes.
All right.
As we start with 21-year-old Felix Dolci from Quebec competing in gymnastics. And it's his first Olympic, by the way.
How excited are you that they're bringing back the condoms? There's going to be 300,000 condoms. How excited are you for the condoms in Olympic Village?
Listen, I'm pretty excited. I got a good one for you. My first ever Olympic Games were kind of like Junior Olympic Games, right? I went there, and I remember I took like a handful of them. And it's like a collection item now. Come on. Like, you need those Olympic condoms with you. So I was pretty proud to say that I still to this day have some, okay?
Some.
That's not something you want to brag about.
I mean, for me, it's a flex. Maybe a weird flex, but for me, it's a flex. And so I do really want to grab some at the Paris Olympics. So I got to keep the collection going. So, yeah. Wow.
Do they brand them with, like, the Olympic logo on them and
yes,
stuff?
They do. Should. Yeah.
Really?
They That's absolutely
incredible.
Should.
That's incredible.
Dammit Maury always, also talking to Layla Fernandez, who we know and love from Montreal. Of course, competing in tennis.
Layla Fernandez, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me. My God.
Now, at the Olympics, you guys room with people. You have roommates. What is something that you're so worried that you know people are going to learn about you?
No, actually, I'm actually pretty nervous that they're going to learn that I do snore and I do talk in my sleep. There are times where I talk in my sleep and, you know, I used to share a room with my younger sister, and she would tell me, like, what were you dreaming? Like, you're having a full-on conversation with yourself. This is not normal. So I feel like that's the one thing that I'm going to be a little nervous about. But other than that, it'll be, like, a funny moment between all of us. It'll be a great story to share with our friends, so it's going to be fun.
Oh, my God.
Could you imagine?
Training your whole life. And you got a room with somebody who's a sleep talker.
Yeah. Tell me that's not distracting. Oh, that won't throw you off? Keep you up all night?
Oh, my
During God. The Olympics?
No.
When you're trying to win a medal?
No, I'd sleep in the hall.
Yeah. Listen, I know what it's like to win a medal. Ask Shem.
Wow.
Right?
Wow.
You got to be focused, no
you.
Distraction whatsoever.
Thank
Layla
you.
Fernandez, you cannot be talking in your sleep.
Thank you.
Right?
Thank you.
Dammit Maury talking to some of the Canadian athletes who are representing in Paris this year. They were out with Lululemon debuting the new outfits that you're going to be seeing them all wear. 27-year-old from BC, Philip Kim, competing. And this is the first Olympics ever to have this, but breakdancing, which I am so hype about.
We're only 40 years late.
I am so hype about this. Breakdancing, finally.
People don't even know what breakdancing is anymore.
In the Olympics.
You're going to be making history because this is the first year breaking, as you guys call it, but breakdance is going to be in the Olympics. How does it feel to be one of the first to be representing Canada with breaking? No pressure.
It feels good. I'm very excited and more than anything, very honored. I've always represented myself, my crews, and to kind of be able to represent my country on such a big platform, I'm beyond excited.
What do you have to say to those that don't think breakdancing is a sport?
I say wait and see. I think, once again, I've had a lot of people who have seen it for the very first time, especially in the qualifications leading up to this, and they've all said nothing but positive things. So I know if you're seeing this for the first time, if you had your doubts, you'll still fall in love with it when you actually see it.
Let me tell you how good this guy, Philip Kim, is, okay? Mm-hmm. Representing Canada from BC in breakdancing at the Olympics. When they were yesterday at the event with Lulu, right?
Yeah.
They had like a catwalk set up.
Mm-hmm.
Fashion show style.
Nice.
And this guy was showing off some moves and was doing a windmill. It's called a windmill, but it was when you spin on your back.
Yeah.
Right? And then you like drop a pose to end the move.
Yeah.
This guy got so close to the edge, I swear I thought he was going to fall off.
Really?
But he caught it. Like, it was like during that move, he saw how close he was to the edge to falling off, and he corrected his mistake right away.
Bro.
And posed up. It was perfect.
Do you think that they, in the Olympics, like, I don't know what the format of breakdancing is, but do they like put two guys on a piece of cardboard and after one guy goes, like he serves? You know what I mean? Like you got to like, you know what I mean?
Like the 80s?
Like, yeah, like where you like you point served? At the other guys, right? And then he's got to do his thing on a piece of cardboard. They really should do the breakdancing events in the parking lot.
If they want to keep the integrity of breaking,
yeah,
absolutely, with a crowd all around.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, big metal garbage can on fire.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Remember back in the day, like the pizza prank where you would just call a pizza place and send a pizza to somebody's house, mm-hmm. and then they'd open the door and the pizza guy would be like, pizza guy. And
that's what you guys did for fun back then?
Yes. Okay. Okay. And then the guy would be like, I didn't order the pizza. And then there'd be like some sort of dispute, right? And at that point, the only person out was the pizza guy. So the pizza prank doesn't exist anymore because we live in a world of where you have to prepay for everything, right? However, the pizza prank is back because of identity theft. So here's a story, and I want to play the whole thing. And this guy named Justin Rabicki in Alberta, who has had over $1,000 in pizzas delivered to his house and his workplace.
His work.
And he works at Goodwill, too.
Oh, okay? Poor guy.
So I got to play this. It's Justin Rabicki, and the pizzas first started arriving from his local place in Alberta called Pizza 73. So here we go.
Many people love a hot, cheesy pizza delivered right to their door. But Justin Rabicki's love of the big pizza pie is being spoiled by a prankster.
So every time I see Pizza 73 commercials, it gives me nightmares.
In November, Rybicki was eating dinner at home when he heard a knock on the door. It was a Pizza 73 delivery driver with nearly $100 worth of pizza. The delivery was under his name and number.
So I checked my emails and it had an order that I never ordered. So then we told him that it wasn't me that ordered the pizzas.
Concerned that he may have been hacked in some way, he filed a police report, but the Pizza 73 deliveries did not stop.
Oh, no.
Several more in November and December, each one ranging from $70 to $150.
Wow.
Rybicki changed his number, but the pizza still came,
even
to his job here at Goodwill.
So that's when we called the head office of Pizza 73 and told him that anyone with the name Justin Rabicki, cancel the orders.
The prankster then switched to Domino's, ordering large pizzas and even lava crunch cakes. Rabicki says he has no idea who could be behind these deliveries. He doesn't think it's an angry ex.
I never dated anyone, so it's not that.
He estimates nearly $1,000 worth of pizza has went to waste. He says he's flagged his number at Domino's, so those deliveries should stop, unless they go to Pizza Hut next.
I hope karma gets you someday and delivers pizza to your house.
You know, the whole situation is unfortunate, right? It sucks for poor Justin. You know what the other part that's very unfortunate?
Yeah.
Is that his coworkers at Goodwill, they see every day, right?
Oh.
You get like 10 large pies show up and you're like, yo, Justin came through today for the team.
I know.
Right? I didn't really bring a lunch today. I got half a sandwich that was probably left over from last night.
Thank you. Pulling in the volunteer hours.
Yes.
Right? Oh, this is what we get for coming in, volunteering our time, being good humans.
Like Justin
thank
you.
Justin with the pizza.
Justin the hero. Thank you, Justin. You're such a good friend. You're such a good coworker.
Oh, he can't even blame it on an ex.
No, he's never had. He doesn't have an ex.
Sad.
Never dated
Poor
anybody.
Guy, Justin.
Oh, I want to give him a hug.
I know, me too.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
You, it's Roz and Mocha. Hello.
Hi.
Okay, hold on. Here we go.
Roz and Mocha's Instant Moments.
Get it off your chest.
You don't have to say your name, but I do know that you are out in Winnipeg. We got a ton of Roz and Mocha fans in Winnipeg. What part of the city do you live in?
Charleswood.
Okay. What is your vented moment?
Okay, I got two things I need to get off my chest.
Go
for
it.
First one being the drivers in Winnipeg. I swear to God, people on the road, they shouldn't even have their license. They don't even know how to stop at a four-way stop. They just do a run and stop. Like, you know what I mean? And, like, you get, like, I'm walking on the sidewalk one day and almost get hit by a car. I'm driving on the perimeter and people cut in front of you without using the signal light. And it's even when you're driving in the city, they don't even use their signal light. And, like, you're always about to get hit by a car. Like, nobody knows how to drive. It drives me insane. And people run red lights? Like what are they doing? I got T-boned because somebody ran a red light.
How old are you?
21.
Okay. Would it make you feel better if I said that your vented moment, it is your vented moment, and you can say whatever it is that you want, right? That's what vented moment is here for people to jump on the Roz and Mocha show and just whatever it is that's bothering them, you just talk about it freely. No judgment whatsoever. But I want to know if it would make you feel better that the way you feel about drivers in Winnipeg is not a Winnipeg exclusive. Like, this happens. All the things that you're describing happens everywhere around the world.
Oh, God.
Is there a chance the problem is you?
There might be, but I refuse to believe that.
Yeah. It's like when you're walking on the sidewalk, are you on your phone, like not really, really paying attention?
Might be, but again, I'm not the problem here.
when you're in the car, when you're driving, you tend to maybe like glance at your phone, or you got your phone in your hand, or you're like quickly replying to a text while you do that move where you look down with your eyes and then you like quickly look back up.
No, but I do zone out a lot when I'm driving, and I get to one place without even knowing I'm driving.
So maybe the problem is you.
No, I'm not the problem here.
All right. If there is one message you want to share with the good people in Winnipeg, the drivers of Winnipeg right now, as part of your vented moment, what would that be?
Use your goddamn signal lights and quit riding people's behinds.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Do you feel better?
Yes. And I got one more thing.
Okay. Oh. One more thing. Go ahead.
Okay. So I have a roommate, and I'm going to talk a little bit quiet. Oh. I buy my own food. I buy everything, like my stuff, right? Uh-huh. She will steal my toilet paper. She'll eat all my berries, take my shampoo, and it's driving me absolutely insane.
Have you ever talked to her about it, though?
Yes, I have. And then she like gives me a little pity party, and I'm like, oh, well, maybe I kind of feel bad. But then I'm like, my stuff is missing, and I'm like, hey, you know what? Like, I can't keep doing this. Like, it's driving me insane to the point where I am finding a different place to live. And I have a little boy, and I... Like, you guys know how expensive diapers and wipes are. She'll take my baby wipes to use as makeup removers.
Yo, them baby wipes are good, though, for that kind of stuff.
Listen, when there's a baby in the house.
I know.
Your roommate is taking the baby wipes for the makeup.
I know. That's precious material right there. Okay, so does your roommate know that you and your kid are leaving?
No, not yet.
When do you leave?
Well, I got to find somewhere first.
Oh, okay. So you don't have a place yet.
Yeah. I have been thinking about moving back with my parents, but ain't no way I'm doing that.
Damn, stealing the toilet paper and the berries?
Yeah, my berries. And berries are so expensive.
They are, I know. And I bet you go for like the organic stuff too, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Super expensive. Yeah, damn.
Yeah, damn. Well, that was a great vented moment. Hope you feel better.
Thanks.
Later.
Thanks for listening.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast. Roz and Mocha's Fix My Life.
What advice can you guys give me?
Okay, so my question is...
Got a problem you can't fix.
Roz and Mocha got you.
Yo, Vic, what's going on? It's Roz and Mocha.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you guys?
Doing good. Welcome to Fix My Life. What's going on with you?
How do you manage two kids under two?
Oh boy.
You wrote us this, Vic. Hey, Roz and Mocha, Fix My Life. My first child was born after 3 years of trying, but was unsuccessful, so we had to go the IVF route. We were going to have another one when she turns around three, but now my wife is pregnant with our second baby.
Oh, boy.
We bought our first home in 2021 with the current situation of expenses and my wife unable to work. How would you advise to manage finances? I have a good job and I'm due for promotion at work as well. How will I discuss the pay with my work, and what should I tell my director? How should I handle the pressure of a mortgage, two kids, and work? Woof.
Your initial thought to us was, how do you manage two kids under two? But it sounds like what you really want to know is, how can I afford a family of four?
In a way, yes. So basically finance and situation, because you know how the Toronto market is right now.
Brutal.
And we are trying to find a daycare for my 15 months right now, and that's also very difficult to find.
Yeah.
So because of that, my wife have to stay with her. She's doing great with her and glad that she is spending much time with her, as much as time she is able to spend. But when it comes to the bank statements and bank account, it's going low and low and low. So I do have good savings, but when I see that coming down on a monthly basis, that worries me a little bit.
So you're not so much able to support the family right now without dipping into your savings constantly, right?
Yes.
And your wife wants to go back to work. Is that the deal?
Yes, okay. She does.
I'll say this. I know a lot of people, most people I know, that when they have two kids and they are looking at daycare, oftentimes one person's almost entire salary just goes to daycare.
Yeah.
So you're not you're not up any at the end of the month.
No.
Okay. And you sort of, you know, when your kid starts kindergarten and you get to wipe that daycare money off the books, it's a glorious feeling.
I know.
It's like,
but it's hell getting to that point.
It is.
It's a big fight.
Yeah. How's your debt situation?
So I don't have any debt other than my mortgage.
Oh,
so
good.
My cars are paid off, only the mortgage, which I have on the house. That's the only thing is outstanding, but otherwise credit card bills, everything is on point. I don't owe anybody anything else.
Okay. So you got to figure out, like, you're trying to figure out how to manage this. Like, are you getting that promotion at work, do you think?
Yeah, so we are in talk with that. So my director just called a meeting last week, so we are going to meet them this week, just to see where the direction is headed, how much I should be asking. I know, like, I did my research. I did all the research that around my position, how much usually a manager is getting paid. But to bring that point up, especially in this environment, the companies are always saying that we are under budget and this and that. So just wanted to bring that point to them clearly, that how much are my expectations and what sort of response I will get. I'm 100% sure that they will not be able to give me what I was expecting.
Yeah.
But how do I negotiate at that point?
So I would say the one thing you shouldn't do in a negotiation is to start saying that you have one kid and another kid on the way and housing is so expensive. I wouldn't do any of that in a negotiation.
Oh, definitely not. No. Definitely not.
You're always best in a situation like this to have the sort of attitude of you don't want to be treated special. You just want to be treated fairly, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so what you're looking to do is to not come up with a number that is going to put too much pressure on you or too much pressure on them, but you want to come up with a number that you both agree is a fair number, right?
Okay.
And I would, you know, normally we negotiate stuff differently, obviously, but figure out what they're offering first. And go from there.
Okay. So I should not put my own number first, let them decide what they want to give me the raise for, and then from there I can go on.
I mean, it depends on, you know, like how you want to handle this. Oftentimes they will have a number ready to go anyway. Nobody is going to go into a negotiation with you without having a number in their head. They may try and get out of you, but then I would just, you know, I would always ask what somebody's budget is, right? Like, what is your...
Yeah.
You know.
But it sounds like all the steps that you've been taking have been right. Like, you know what your financials are. You know,
no debt. You're doing great, Vic.
You're in a really, really good position, dude.
Yes, thank you very much. And I take that advice from you guys all the time, that you have to have some savings, at least for the 3 months of savings when you don't have job. Let's say for some reason I lost the job, and if I don't have that money to pay for the mortgage, so at least for 3 months I should keep that in my
on hand cash.
But I'm at least set for 1 year, to be frank. I'm not even worried about 3 months. I'm set for a whole year.
Okay. Wow, good for you. But you're on the right path. You are doing all the right things, Vic.
Start putting money away for those kids too, Vic.
Yeah, you gotta do that
while you have it.
I have all the savings account for them already prepared.
Okay.
Every month my money is going towards them as well, so I know how tuition fees are for the future in the college and everything, and having two kids, it's a big step. So yes, I'm getting ready. It's just I needed some motivational talk from you guys, as you guys are.
You got this. You're doing great. Yeah. You are, Vic, in much better shape than the vast majority of people who call in to Fix My Life. You're doing great. You're doing all the right things. You should be real proud. You should be real proud.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Are you going to ask me the question?
Vic, between Roz and Mocha, who is your favorite?
See, I'm from Scarborough. Hey. I'm a brown guy.
Yeah.
So my obvious answer
will be Ross.
Troll.
And I'm not even going to answer and justify that answer either, because everybody knows how that person is. And after reading his book, it's a different situation where you put yourself, and it's a different respect for you, man. I hope you continue doing great as you guys are doing. Maury, Shem, Maria, everybody's doing the great job for the city, and I continue and I wish you good luck all the time.
You're the best, Vic.
Vic, love you, bro. Man. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Have a wonderful day.
Roz and Mocha's Fix My Life on KISS.
Maria's going to hate me for playing this.
Uh-oh.
Her boyfriend, Morgan Wallen, you guys remember we were talking about how he got arrested for throwing a chair off the rooftop.
Almost hitting three cops.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he got mad he couldn't see me.
A bar in Nashville. Yeah, he got mad because
The reason he was upset
is that I guess his ex is now booed up. Yeah. And so he's pissed at that. So he tossed the chair, right?
Apparently.
So somebody on on TikTok remixed and created a whole new lyrics for his song Last Night.
Okay.
And it sounds like this.
Last night I threw a chair across the bar and off the roof, and when it fell, almost hit two cops. Now I'm facing 1 to 15 years on 3 felonies, but that'll teach them other stupid chairs not to mess with me, cause I'm 1-0 in chair fights. I'm 1-0 in chair fights. Yeah, yeah.
What do you say? I'm 1-0 in chair fights?
Okay, That's a banger right there.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Catch the guys live.
Weekday mornings from 6 to 10.
On KISS 92.5.
KISS925.com.
Or download the KISS 92.5 app.